You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I would like for you at all of our campuses for just a moment, if you would just stand to your feet as we say the Difference Makers Declaration together. Get your blood flowing for just a second before I let you have a little bit of the Word of God here, but we're going to look at the Difference Makers Declaration we've been saying for over a year. Hopefully, it's like, I've almost got this thing memorized. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to do, because you are a difference maker. Here we go. Let's say it together, loud and proud. I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, Spirit-empowered legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference maker. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's good. Go ahead, take a seat now. All campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us. Grab your listening guide that's in your weekly guide. You're going to want to take notes because I'm talking about marriage is what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. So that's the way it's going to work. We're jumping into 1 Peter. We've been in 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to start back off. We've been studying 1 Peter this year. So we stopped 1 Peter around Christmas time, and now we're jumping back in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to do verses 1 through 6. This week, we're going to talk about wives. Next week, we're going to talk about husbands. And the third week, we're going to talk about have wedlock instead of deadlock is what we're going to talk about week 3. That's where we're going. So ladies first, that's the way that it works here in the scriptures. Ladies, there are 6 verses about ladies. There's only 1 verse about men. You usually use more words than what we use. How was your day? Well, I woke up and blah, 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 blah. How was your day? Fine, right? That's how it goes. So ladies, we got 6 verses for you. We got 1 verse next week for the men. So men, start faking a flu all week long so you don't have to be here in church next week. But we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3 in just a second talking about marriage. Marriage is an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. What a blessing marriage is. It can be a struggle. It can be very difficult. That's why we're going to spend 3 weeks, and then we're going to have a marriage conference with Matt Chandler coming in to talk about marriage even more, to be able to help us with this struggle. Do you know that marriages, more divorces happen, they peak in January through March? That's when divorces peak. What they say is because a lot of people are holding back during the holidays, they don't want to ruin the holidays. So they wait till file until after the new year. So in this moment, in this time, for us to be able to talk about marriage is a pertinent thing. Marriage is more than friendship. Friendship is seasonal. You may have different friends in high school than you did in middle school or college than you do in adulthood or at your workplace when you lived in a different city than you do now. Friendship can be seasonal. Friendship can be multiple. I got a lot of friends. Friendship can be at varying degrees. There's some folks that, man, they are blood brother kind of friends, and then some friends that are acquaintances kind of friends. Friendship is different than marriage. Marriage is not seasonal. It's for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Marriage is not in differing degrees. You're either married or you're not married. That's how it works. And marriage is not multiple, in case you were wondering. You only have one, okay? So that's how it's different. And we're going to see in these passages of Scripture, we're going to see 2 things. We're going to see the beauty of marriage, and we're going to see the beauty of gender as well. And those are 2 things that are really kind of confusing in today's society. What is marriage, and what is a woman? What is a man? Well, that's not the theme of everything we're going to see, but I want you to see through the Scriptures the beauty of being a woman. The beauty of being a man. Ladies, you are incredible. You're honored throughout the Scriptures. Genesis, we're created at male and female. It's an awesome thing. In both in the image of God. In Galatians, there's neither male or female. Everybody's one in Christ. Later on, we'll see next week when we get together, we'll see that women are co-heirs with men in the gospel. So God is doing great things through men and women. It's not a subservient religion. The greatest thing that's ever happened for women's rights is Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened. So we're going to celebrate womanhood. We're going to celebrate who you are as a lady. So if you're single and you're a lady, I want you to be able to just be thinking about, okay, what are these qualities building into me for me to be the wife maybe one day that if God blesses with that I want to be and to be the kind of person that godly man's looking for. If you're married, be able to take an assessment. Nobody's perfect. Don't beat yourself up. But to look and say, you know what? I need to step it up a little bit on that. Marriage is a difficult thing. Lady Astor and William and Winston Churchill were talking, and she said this. Lady Astor said to Winston Churchill, "Winston, if you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee." And Winston replied, "And if you were my wife, I would drink it." So hopefully that's not your marriage. Let's look into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go, verses 1 and 2. We'll make it all the way through 6, but we're going to take it 2 at a time. "In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." I thought you said, "Pastor, this is going to be a fun message." "Submit yourselves to your own husbands so that even if some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live, when they observe your pure and reverent behavior." Okay, we get to that big word submission straight out of the gate. Here we go. Now, if you think about 1 Peter, and if you've been tracking with us as we go through this book of the Bible, you realize that submission has been a theme for Peter over the last couple chapters. He talked about being submissive to government. We talked about that before the election. He talked about being submissive in the workplace. And now he's talking about being submissive in the home. He's going to get to talking about submission in the church. So in 1 Peter, you're going to have four places of submission: the government, the workplace, the home, and the church. Why? Because those are building blocks of society, all of those things. There's got to be order in there. There's got to be understanding in there. There has to be leadership in those things, or it'll just be chaos. So we've been defining submission, not just today for this message. I didn't just come up with it for the women's talk. We have been defining submission by this over the last several months, few months. Submission is a voluntary respect of leadership, not a forceful loss of dignity. Submission is a voluntary respect of leadership, not a forceful loss of dignity. Now, what do we think when we start talking about wives being submissive to the husband? Well, we do that, and everybody says, "Oh, that's a forceful loss of dignity. We're just as equal." That's right. You were created in the image of God. We're co-heirs. That's right. That's verse 7. There's no difference between a man and a female in God's eyes. That's right. That's Galatians. It's not a forceful loss of dignity. It's a respectful aspect, a voluntary respect of leadership. So he kicks out right from the gate in the same way, what does that mean? Same way he's talked about government, same way he's talked about the workplace, in the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Let's talk about submission for just a second. Warren Wiersbe puts it like this. He says, "Submission is not subjugation. Subjugation turns a person into a thing. It destroys individuality and it removes all liberty. Submission makes a person become more of what God wants them to be. It brings out the individuality. It gives them freedom to accomplish all that God has for their life and their ministry." So we're all submissive to the Lord. And here, ladies, it talks about submission with a husband. Now, I put it in your listening guide. So if you could take this, you don't even have to take notes. I got them all written out. 6 different thoughts, a few thoughts on submission. We're just going to hit them just boom, 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 boom. Got a lot of content in this message. Number one, and not necessarily in that kind of order, but this would be a good number one. It's a spiritual issue shown in a relational context. It's a spiritual issue shown in a relational context. Well, I don't want to submit to government, and I don't want to submit to my employer, and I don't want to submit in the home, and I don't want to submit at church. Well, that might be a spiritual issue down at the end of saying, do I want to be submissive to God himself? So it's a spiritual issue shown in a relational context. Number two, it's best seen, ladies, unfortunately, when you disagree. It's best seen when you disagree. Well, my husband wants me to go to Hawaii and stay at the Ritz-Carlton for a week. I'm going to submit. That's not a good place as an example of submission. It's best shown when you disagree. Now, of course, nothing illegal, nothing immoral, nothing abusive, by no means any of those things. But it's best seen when you go, "Oh, I don't know." That's the best time that it shines with the Lord in it. Number three, realize that a man won't battle long-term for leadership. Realize that a man won't battle long-term for leadership. If you fight and fight and fight and fight, pretty soon that man will go passive. And you'll henpeck him to death type of thing. And you'll actually end up going backwards. And so, ladies, I just ask you, do you really want a man that's not a leader in the home? Is that what you really want? Because that's the unintended consequences of not letting him lead, okay? And so you got to think through this, because a man's not going to fight long term with a lady. Bucks don't fight does. It doesn't happen. Now, men will go at it, and, you know, ladies, y'all will go at it. That's a whole different messages on those sort of things. But to be able to say, here we go, it's not going to be, a man is finally going to just say, I'll just watch TV from the easy chair, and you take care of the rest. And that's not really what you want, ladies. Number four, it's a choice, not a personality. And this is a big one. Because many times ladies feel like, okay, here comes the church mouse personality, and I don't have that personality. I have a vivacious personality. I have a go-getter type of personality. I've got a strong personality, and I know what the women submit talk is. It's going to be quiet, stay in the kitchen, don't say anything, and stay back. This is not a personality. This is a choice to be made. You may have a personality that's very strong in leadership, and we in our church, we celebrate that. I personally celebrate that. We've got ladies in our church that are heads of ministries that they started, and they're leading, and they're going for it. We got ladies in our church that are heads of businesses, and they're going for it. That's great. We've got ladies in our church that are principals and administrators in the school district. We got ladies in our church that are leaders in a great way. That's awesome. God's not asking you to change your personality. It's a choice within the home. Now, your personality may be more difficult to do this. There may be a personalities in there that's like it comes a little easier. But the same thing could be said for men who are a little bit quieter in leadership, right? Doesn't mean that they're not a leader. It means that they've got to step it up a little bit more to be able to say, okay, here we go with this. And we're going to step it up. And their personality would naturally lead from the front. But we've got to be able to get this in the home, getting this right. So ladies, do not hear a squelching of your personality. Hear a blossoming of your personality in this. But it's a choice. Number five, walk in godly wisdom, not in personal wants. Well, I don't want to. Well, there's a wiser way to walk in life than that. Number six, this is not to men in general, but to the husband you chose. This is not to men in general. I'm not going to be submissive to all those men. You see all those men, what they're... This is to the husband, unless you've got some kind of arranged marriage thing going on. You picked that man, and he picked you. And you desire to step into a covenantal relationship with him to say, this is my man, and this is who I've chosen. And this is the man that God's talking about here of you being submissive to. So submissive, we've gotten over the hurdle in a sense of that big word, that scary word. It's not a scary word, ladies. It's actually a freeing word. It's actually a freeing word. Then he goes on and he says that even in the end of verse 1, he says that the Christians, even if some, that's the men, disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live when they observe their pure and reverent behavior. So think of what's happening in a historical context. This is just a few decades after Jesus was on planet Earth. These ladies are coming to Christ, and these men are going, what is this religion? I mean, it wasn't a Christian culture type of thing like we've got going on in the history of America. It's this new religion, if you will. Now, we know it's from the Old Testament. It's just the prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus. But these men don't become Christians, and the ladies do become Christians. So what do you do in that context? And he says there's power in purity. There's power in purity. That when they see your reverent, pure behavior to the Lord, that there's power in that. Emerson Eggerich wrote the book Love and Respect, which is a great book, particularly if you're struggling in your marriage in any way. He says this, obviously wives can go on and win the battle by attacking and criticizing and lecturing their husbands, but they will eventually lose the war. They can win the battle by getting on them all the time, but they'll eventually lose the war. And Peter's saying, I want you to win the war that's going on for that husband's heart. Now, does that mean every husband in a marriage that's a believing wife and an unbelieving husband, that every husband turns to Jesus? I wish it was true. Does that mean it's easy in that marriage? No, it's not. That's why the word of God tells us not to be unequally yoked. So this is a verse of faithfulness to married women, and it's a verse of warning to single women. It's a verse of warning to single women. See, because submission is a lot easier when you're subbing a mission. See it? When the man's got a mission to go with God, and then you're able to be submissive underneath that, that makes a whole difference. But when the man's not on mission, it makes it really hard to be submission. So here we have, he says, I want you to shine with your purity and let that make the change. Keith Urban, one of the great theologians of our society, country and western singer, says this, Somebody Like You is the song. It's catchy. You should listen to it. I used to run in circles going nowhere fast. I'd take one step forward and end up two steps back. I couldn't walk a straight line even if I wanted to, but I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. When you put your arms around me, listen, singing to his wife, well, baby, there ain't nothing in this world I can't do. The man begins to grow in that love. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better man. I don't want to take this life for granted, like I used to do. I want to love somebody like you. I stand here and I tell you this, no person on planet Earth has been a greater influence in my walk with God or the man that I am than my wife and her godliness. Yeah. Nobody. Ladies, there's power in purity. There's power in prayer. There's power in submission. We were driving the other day and I passed where we were supposed to go and I just kept driving. And she said, where are you going? I told her where we were going. She said, well, that's like a mile back this way. And I said, why didn't you say anything? She said, well, I'm being submissive. I said, that's not submissive. We're going to be late is what that is. I mean, don't tell me where to park once we get there. I mean, that part, I don't want to know. But there's power in purity of what God's doing in our lives. And what God's doing in women. Now let's look at verses 3-6. Let's be 3-6. And let me say also a word to husbands. This is faithfulness for married ladies. This is a warning for single ladies. And for husbands, this is don't be hard-headed to her soft-hearted. Don't be hard-headed to her soft-hearted. That's what's in this verse as well. Gentlemen, we got to wake up a bit too, spiritually, and be impacted by the power of the purity in our wives. Now, verses 3-6, ladies, is going to ask a very important question about beauty. Where does beauty come from? Look in verses 3-6, and I'm going to have you circle a few things as we go through this. Here we go. Your beauty should not consist of outward things. I want you to underline or circle things or outward adornments. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothes. Instead, it should consist of what's inside the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. We're going to talk about that. Don't get scared. Gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women would put their hope in God, also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children. So following Sarah, when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming, worry. So here we have here, what is true beauty? That's what we're asking. What is true beauty? You got to ask that question, ladies, for this reason. Much of the security of a woman comes from where true beauty is found. Beauty for a lady brings an aspect of security. By the same token, men, success for a man brings a certain aspect of security. So we feel like we got it together. We've been successful in this endeavor. We feel like we've got some security. Ladies feel like, okay, I look nice. I'm beautiful. I'm being acknowledged for that. That's really what the world values in a tremendous way, unfortunately, for ladies. And so then that brings security. So let's ask the question, what is true beauty? What is true beauty? Chuck Swindoll says it like this. It may take a few hours to prepare for an elegant evening, but it takes a lifetime to build an elegant character. It may take a few hours to prepare for an elegant evening, but it takes a lifetime to build an elegant character. He goes on, mothers should pay close attention to this warning because young daughters especially take their cues about their priorities from mom. Beauty comes not from the exterior, but the interior. Beauty is primarily inward, not outward. Beauty is primarily inward, not outward. Now, we say that, but I mean, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Well, that's what the Bible is teaching us here. When it says here in verse 3, it says, your beauty should not consist of outward things or adornments. So being adorned with outward things. The Greek word for things or adornment, being adorned by these things, here's what it is. Kosmos is what it is. We get two things from it. We get cosmos, where God organized the universe. So ladies, your beauty does not come from the organizing of your universe. And some of you are like, honey, you don't know what it takes to get this whole thing organized like the universe. It's earrings, it's my nails done, it's, you know, it's this kind of shoes, it's this kind of clothes, it's this kind of makeup, it's my hair, all these things. I mean, I've seen the tools, okay? I know, it's a lot of tools to be able to get that whole thing organized in that way. So we get the organization of the universe from this word, but we also get from cosmos this word, cosmetics comes from this as well. Now, is he calling you to not wear makeup? No, that's not what this verse is saying. Is he saying pretty clothes are of the devil? That's not what he's saying. He's saying no jewelry by no means? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that you have a choice. Will it be the cosmetics or will it be the inner heart, which is cardia, which we get cardiovascular? That's the Greek word. So is it the organizing of the exterior or is it the beating of the inward of the heart? That's the question. And every lady has to answer that. Where does true beauty come from? That's where we've got to ask that question. Now, God's given us what he's given us, right? Some of us got to work harder than others. I could eat and work out and do everything possible. I'm not going to get much bigger than I am right now. I figured that out in about eighth grade and started working on my personality from that point on, okay? Just not going to happen. That's the way it goes. Thank God for my sense of humor, because I was always, I like him as a friend, you know? So that's just how it goes, right? Just let it sink in, it's okay. I'm okay now, I got my girl, I don't need anybody else. If I get any better looking, it'll just be problems for me from here on out, okay? So I got her, that's all I need. So we gotta do what we gotta do to make ourselves pretty. That's good, that honors your husband to be pretty. It honors your wife to take care of yourself. It honors God to take care of your body and to have all of those things. That's a good thing. So we're not saying let's go crazy on this verse over here. It's a great, good thing to add years to our life and life to our years of our bodies being taken care of. But it's not the thing. It's not the thing. And so we got to do with what we got and make it as best as we can make it. And that's great. That's how it goes. But to be able to say it comes from my heart. That's where it comes from. I put in your weekly guide here, your listening guide, just four things that it gives us in these verses. Number one, in verse 4, it says, to seek a gentle and quiet spirit. Oh no, that's not my personality. Let me tell you what that means. The gentle part is a word in the Greek that means more than meek. It's a biblical meekness, not a weakness. It's God's strength under his control. That's what it means to be meek. God's strength under his control. The next word where it says a quiet spirit, here's what it means in the Greek. Appropriately tranquil. Tranquil. Yeah, not tranquil. I don't think that's a word. Tranquil. Appropriately tranquil. Don't you want a peaceful home, ladies? A peaceful marriage? Appropriately tranquil. What does that mean? It means not misusing or overusing words that would stir up needless friction or destructive commotion. So not misusing or overusing words that would stir up needless friction or destructive commotion. So it's a meekness and it's a tranquility is what it is. I've been married almost 20 years. Let me just tell you something. You just better learn it early. Here it is. Don't say everything you're thinking. Don't say everything you're thinking. You got to have some meekness in there. You've got to have some understanding in there. You've got to not overuse words. You can't say everything you're thinking or you're going to end up in a fight all the time. You got to be able to just go, you know what? I'm not going to win that battle or it's not worth fighting that battle. Small bricks build big walls. And so there's a meekness and there's a quietness, and it could be said for us as well, men. But ladies, let me just say, it's not being pouty or cold. It's not being pouty or cold. It's not, well, I'm not going to talk because the Bible says meek, I'm fine. That's not it. That's not what's happening. It's not pouty or cold. It's meek and it's quiet and it's a gentleness before the Lord. Verse 4, it says there as well, it says, and the holy women, which is very valuable in God's eyes, that you desire what God values most. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, and that's what he values. Proverbs 11, verse 22, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Proverbs, it says, better to live on the edge of a roof than with a quarrelsome and complaining woman. So we've got to choose what God values, not what just we want. Verse 5, it says that we hope in the Lord. For in the past, the holy women put their hope in God and also beautified themselves. They made themselves more beautiful by hoping in God. And then lastly, in verse 6, this is so key, where it says, and when you do what is good, that's doing what's right, and are not frightened by anything alarming. So you do what's right and you worry less. And that begins to have the aspect of true beauty in your life. Those four things. And when I was in college, I took a psychology class, and they do all sorts of experiments in psychology classes, and you study the experiment. And so this was the experiment they do. They wanted to define what true beauty was for a man or true beauty for a lady. And so they crafted this picture. It was a Photoshopped kind of picture where they took, you know, real images so it looked like a real picture, and they put it all together, and they made the face of this man and put it in a woman's office, face of this lady, put it in a man's office, had them say this was their boyfriend or spouse or whatever worked in the context, and they put it there in the office, and they made this man or this woman. They used absolutely, completely average everything. Average distance between the eyes, average nose size, average cheekbones, average smile width, average length here, average forehead, average hair length, average ears, average this. Everything was average. And people would walk into the office and go, who is that man? He is gorgeous. Who is that woman? She is spectacular. Everything was average. So here's what I want to encourage you with. The beautiful people are just average. They're just average. It's the rest of us that are special. We're the special ones. And the way you get really beautiful, ladies, is not being average and walking with God. That you're spectacular in walking with God, spectacular in honoring your husband, spectacular in your inner beauty, working on your outer beauty too. That's fine. And it's hard in this society on ladies, on the exterior beauty. There's so much coming at you, so much coming at you. So I ask you this question where it says, ladies, that you would be like children of Sarah. Ladies, who are your role models, saints or celebrities? Who are your role models, saints or celebrities? And particularly the younger ladies. Because we could be looking at all this celebrity culture, and you know what? The models don't even look like they look. They've been airbrushed and well-lit and, you know, hadn't had a cookie in a decade. I mean, all this stuff, right? Who wants to live like that? So we've got, it's just not even there. So we've got to realize, we've got to aim for saints. Let's be like the saints, not like the celebrities. This is what I've heard said, and I think it's really great. Two things. You can honor your husband. Let me give a little precursor. You honor your husband by being beautiful. You honor your husband by the way that you dress. That can honor him. But you can also dishonor your husband in those ways as well. So here's what we say in our home. We say this, classy, not trashy. Classy, not trashy. A friend of ours, they say in their home, we adopted it as well. Modest is the hottest. Modest is the hottest, not mott is the hottest. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Modest is the hottest. Classy, not trashy. Modest is the hottest. And what that does is that makes the inner person of the heart begin to shine through. While, sure, have a pretty outfit. That's great. There's no problem. But if you concentrate on that, here's what you're going to do. You're going to end up frazzled and broke because the styles are just going to keep changing over and over. Let the Lord do something in you that makes you more than average. So you may say at this point, well, if I was Sarah, of course I could submit to Abraham. He's Father Abraham. Abraham would be an easy person to submit to. Have you read the Old Testament about Abraham? Abraham did not get it all right. Sarah submitted in Genesis chapter 12 when Abraham said, I'm going to a land that I don't know where it is, but we're leaving our family. We're going to go to a land that God shows us. She submitted and went on. She submitted in Genesis chapter 13 when Abraham gave the best part of the land to his cousin Lot and his wife, who wasn't a very good wife, we find out later. So he gives the best part of the business to somebody else, and Abraham submits. Or excuse me, Sarah submits. In chapter 20, he tries to pass her off as his sister a second time, and she's submissive to that. And then in chapter 22, he wants to take their only son, Isaac, and submit him to the Lord, and she submits to that as well. Be like the saints, not the celebrities. Here's the application part, and then we're done. Do your words build up or tear down, ladies? Sarah honored him with her words. Nagging doesn't help. Treat him like the man God has made him to be, and he'll rise up to it. Number two, do you honor him publicly and privately? Do you honor him publicly and privately? We can all show one face of our marriage outside the home, one face of our marriage inside the home. Ladies, do you honor him with your words? Do you honor him and build him up with that? Do you honor him publicly and privately with your words, your decisions, your love, the way you dress, the way that you act, the way that you are able to give him honor in all of those ways? Do you honor him in that? Submission is not an easy thing. It's a spiritual thing. Men, we'll talk about men next week and husbands. Let me close with this story. In 1840, Queen Victoria was married to Prince Albert, and they had a fight. Albert walked out of the room and locked himself in his private apartment. And when he went and locked himself in his private apartment, Queen Victoria came and banged on the door. She banged on the door, and there was no response. Then he walked up to the door and he said, who's there? And she said, the Queen of England. And I demand you open the door. And nothing happened. She went away for a minute. She came back, banged on the door. He said, who's there? She said, the Queen of England. Open this door at once. Door stayed locked. She came back again, knocked on the door. He said, who's there? And she said, Albert, it's your wife. Please open the door. And he opened the door, and they were able to settle that conflict. Even submitting of the crown to say, let's get this thing together. We're a team. We're a team. Let's don't let anything pull us apart.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.